Romans 8, 28. Today I'm going to have an opportunity to look with you at certainly one of the top 10 on my list favorite scriptures, probably on the top three of a lot of us, and maybe right at the top, depending on what you're going through. Right now, it may be on your on the top of your list. You know, scriptures do change. You know, if you have your top 10, sometimes, you know, 10 becomes 1, and then maybe it drops to 3, and 3 becomes 2 or whatever. Well, Romans 8:28 is on most people's list in the top 10, somewhere from 1 to 10. And this passage of Scripture has so much to offer us today and to teach us, and I have really enjoyed studying to share these thoughts with you. And so I want you to just stand with me out of respect to the reading of the Word of God. Guest, after this service, we want you to come to our hospitality room, which is in the back hallway, and let me give you some things and meet you personally as our guest. Thanks for coming today. Just come to the hallway right behind me and go to the big sign, and I want to say hello to you. From Romans 8:28, we read God's Word, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I know we have different translations out there, but I would like for us to read it aloud. And I'll ask us to, you can read yours like you want to, but probably the King James will overwhelm you a little bit since I got the microphone, all right? Okay, all right, let's read it together. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. May God bless the reading of His Word. Thank you. Scripture teaches us that there's some things that we just don't know, and we're not going to ever know them. God's ways are higher than man's ways. We're taught in one part of the Scripture that we don't know what to pray for. We have the story of the lady that asked that her two sons could sit on either side of the Lord, and the Lord said, "You don't even know what you're asking, Mom. I know you love your kids, but you don't know what you just asked for." We also know from we know that we will never know when Jesus is coming back again. You're just not going to know that. I do not care who your favorite books are, and don't send me all your books, because Professor Know-It-All has just written the latest, and he has found out exactly in Daniel or wherever. Don't send that to me. He does not know, because the Bible says nobody knows. But thank God, there's some things we can know, and we're going to talk about that. Look at it again. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to those that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. We are not told what the plan is for our life. We do not get an itinerary when we show up at the hospital and they put it aside in the bank vault along with our $10 savings account that grandfather gave us to start our retirement program, and says, "Now, when you get to where you can read this, follow this day by day." We don't know what the plan is, but here's what we do know. There's a plan. God has put in place a plan for every life that He has created. We may not understand the details, but earlier in the book of Romans, we have learned, and you will learn as you read the parts that I could not have the time to teach, that God has a purpose for us, and He's put things in place in our lives to allow His purpose for our lives to be fulfilled. And He has laid it out for Himself, and He knows what His plans are for us. He knows that it's not to do us harm, but to do us good. He has all kinds of promises, and we hear this, and say, but the world is filled with evil and hatred and immorality. And how can those things be good? That's not what that scripture says. Well, how can those things be used for good? Well, that is reality. In other words, you can look at what's going on out there in that world of evil, and a person with a little common sense would say, I don't want to do that. I'm not going to go there. You remember Robert Browning, the immortal line, God's in his heaven, all's right with the world. Well, in the 19th century when he wrote that, that sounded pretty good. The 19th century was a little different than the 21st century. Things were going good, and a lot of dreams, a lot of admiration, a lot of oneness in going on in people's hearts and minds and so forth. And he wrote that, and it was much easier to believe then than it is now. God is in his heaven. All is right with the world. I want you to look at this with me. I want you to look very, very carefully as the greatest scholars in the world with the Greek language have tried to translate this scripture as clearly and accurately as possible, knowing as they were translating that this would become one of the key scriptures of all of the Bible, and that every word would be extremely important that it be very clearly presented. Look what it says. All things work together for good. All things, bad things, good things, all things work together. I want to show you quickly four boundaries in that scripture. First of all, I want to say right up front, this is a promise, but it's for Christians only. It is for Christians only. This promise that all things work together for good to those that love the Lord is for Christians and not for everybody. A person that does not love God, all things don't work together for good for them. Matter of fact, the way the devil works on a person's life is little by little by little by little by little. Go back and trace your steps. Trace when you were 12, 15, 18, 22, 30, and take it on up to where it is now. I want you to think about all the times when you were in your high school class and you watched those that were the movers and the shakers, and they were the who's who and the what's what. And I want you to remember some of them, and maybe some of you have gone back to your high school reunion and have seen some of them 25 years later. And you look back and you remember, you know, it was just they started doing some things that, you know, out behind the barn, they'd have their cigarette, you know, just a little nicotine. I'm not going to be a drug addict. No, of course not. The devil doesn't say, here, have some heroin. You know, no, let's just drift around, you know, just to party every now and then, a couple of beers, you know, not an alcoholic. Well, let's just do this one thing. After all, it's prom night, so let's just, you know what I'm talking about. That's the way the devil works, little by little by little by little. And all of a sudden, the person that goes that way, that does not know God, becomes entrapped. And that entrapment has a way of destroying things that can happen, like in a marriage 20 years later, 25 years later, in your health 30 years later, 40 years later. And all of that is the way the devil works, little by little by little, in a non-believer's life. But the scripture here says that there's a promise that if you'll just love God, Everything is going to work together that happens in your life. So the second boundary is there's an object of desire. And that object of desire is to make us like Jesus. All things work together in our lives as believers to conform us to being like Him, or to make us what He wants us to be. Now hold on. Too often, the desires of we men and women, we human beings, are to be rich, to be famous, to be powerful, successful, and oh yes, happy. That's our goal. Those are just some examples. But the scripture says, no, all things work together for good to them who love God and are the called according to His purpose. And look in verse 29, to be conformed to the image of His Son. You see, these all things that work together for good are the things that God brings in our life. And when we sing that song, oh, how I love Jesus as a child, when we sing that song later, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, that's all I ask, is to be like Him. Well, the question is, would you take Jesus and would you make an honest look at His life? And would you answer the question, was everything good in Jesus' life? As the world would say, good. Was He rich? Was He famous? Did He never have anybody mock Him, rebuke Him, steal from Him, curse Him, spit upon Him? Why, He had no place to lay His head, the scripture said. He was lonely. He was rejected of man. He was a man of men. He was a man of sorrows. And He was acquainted with grief. He was ridiculed, tormented, crucified. That's Jesus. For we know that all things work together for good to those that love the Lord and the called according to His purpose, to be predestined to be, or to live your life in the image of the Lord Jesus. If you'll stop for just a moment, and for today, I'm sure there's several, many, that are going through the valley. You've questioned, if God loves me, why? Well, if God loved Jesus, why? If God loved His only begotten Son, why did He allow those things to happen in Jesus' life? And the reason is, Jesus came to this world with a purpose. And for that purpose to be fulfilled, all of those things, and there's hundreds more that happened to Him, had to take place for Him to do what He was sent here to do. Same is true with us. Another boundary is that God can make good use out of bad things. Suffering, sickness, poverty, grief. Hatred's not love. Grief is not joy. Death is not life. But those things can be used. Let me ask you a question. When did you learn best how to handle your money? When you inherited $10 million or when you were working for 50 cents an hour? And it took you 55 cents an hour to live. When did you learn what it was like to be rejected? When you were voted most popular in high school? Or where nobody even nominated you? We learn when we go through the valley. You learn, why do they decorate the military? Because of their experience on the battlefield. Because you don't learn the battle and you'll react in a battle at Fort Hood. You learn it out there on the battlefield when the enemy comes against you. That's when you see what you're made of. That's where you find out, did it really take? Did it really work? And where do we learn to stand strong for the purposes God intended for us to have? in our lives. It was when we were going through the valley. When evil came against us, we watched Satan destroy others, and we recognized, now he's coming for me. What will I do? And the last boundary to help us understand this meaningful and life-changing passage is, we can know, even when we do not feel, that all things work together for good to those that love the Lord. You ever hear anybody say, well, I just feel like it'll work out? You feel like it'll work out? How would you like to know it's going to work out? You love God? Oh, yeah, it's going to work out. But your feeling didn't add any comfort. Not to anybody you tell them that. I just feel like it's going to work out, honey. Just keep your chin up. Stay focused. No, love God. And be willing to submit to a loving God who promised you so many promises that I don't come to do you harm, but to do you good. I will not withhold any good thing from you. Only trust Him. Only trust Him. None of us are so right with God that we feel good about everything God does. None of us are that right with God. To where we can go around and say, well, I feel pretty good about that. What do you mean you feel good about it? Well, I just feel good about it. I'm so right with God. I understand God. I just wish you could understand God. No, you don't understand God, and they don't understand God, but we still know it's going to work out because God promised it. Well, what's the criteria? Do you believe the Scripture? Do I believe the Scripture? Yes. It's going to work out. I know it's going to work out because God's Word says, for we know that all things work together for good to those that love God and are the called, the saved, according to His purpose, not our purpose. When I was a little boy, for some reason, and being an only child and a preacher's child, I was often asked, what are you going to do when you grow up? I bet everybody's asked that question. I had some things in my back of my mind, but I don't know how I picked up on it, but I was asked that question many times, and my answer was always, whatever God wants me to be. And that was just sincere. I thought I was going to be a banker and a lawyer. I wanted to be a lawyer with a banker with a law degree is what I wanted to be, I thought. Didn't want to be a game warden one time, too. But somehow, I just had in my heart as a little child, because I guess I'd been around it so much, having a wonderful Christian family and a great church, whatever God wants me to be. That ought to be the goal of every one of our children and our grandchildren, whatever God wants. You know, Paul, who wrote this, could I give you a little more of his writings? Because he kind of ties it all together. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We're cast down, but we're not destroyed. Paul wrote that. Same guy that wrote 8:28 wrote that. He said, I've been out there in the real world. I know what it's like to take a uppercut and a right hook and even get hit in behind. I know it. I know it. But all things work together for good to those that love the Lord. How in the world, preacher, can you say that everything that's happening in my life can be good? You don't even know my life. No, but I know one who does know your life, and God says so. That's how I know it's going to work for good. Because God said it would. If God says it, that settles it. Now, there's only one part of that verse that has limitless boundaries, and that is all things. All things, no limit. For we know that all things, that's a limitless thing. Your finances, your health, your family, your church, your nation, all things. All things. All things, people, all things. But you just don't know how I've been feeling. No, but I know that all things work together for good. Because the scripture says so. Things that have happened, things that are happening, things that are going to happen are controlled by God, and they're for our good and for His glory. That we can be sure of. Now, real quickly, I want to give you three examples. Find one of them and identify with them. Example number one is a man named Joseph. I want you to think about Joseph for a moment. Maybe you can get in his biographical sketch real quickly. He was a young man who was favored by his father. He had a bright future. He was hated by his brothers because of his righteousness and because of their sins. One day they threw him in a dry cistern, and they were going to just leave him there to die. But some Midianite traders came by, and they decided we can get something for him. So they sold him, if you remember, into slavery to a military leader named Potiphar, a very powerful, powerful man. And he becomes a slave. May I stop there? He's now a junior in high school, and he's 17 years old. And all that's happened to him. Am I talking to anybody that you had a rough first 17 years in your life? Did it seem like at 17, you know, who cares? I'm just going to throw my life to the wind. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may be dead. This world is just filled with bitterness and hate. But hold on. He was a slave, couldn't even speak the language. Around people, couldn't even talk to him. One day, the wife of Potiphar tried to seduce this young man. And he remained strong. He did not give in. But they accused him of that. After all, he was a slave. He did not have powerful lawyers, and so they threw him into prison. While he was in prison, Pharaoh had a dream. While in prison, this little young man, 17 years old, had all kinds of bad things happen in his life. God has a plan. He's on his way to be the number two man in the whole country. Pharaoh has a dream. Joseph is called to interpret that dream. And also he cleared his reputation in talking to Potiphar. And he was made the secretary of the agriculture. I don't know whether he was a Democrat or Republican, but he was made secretary of the agriculture. And he is put in charge of grain. Grain. Which came to be the substance between life and death. He held the future of a nation in his hands. Yes. In that role. And in the middle of that, his brothers, his own brothers that put him in slavery, came to buy grain from their brother. And there was a great reunion. But when the brother, Joseph, made a godly approach to a family that had rejected him, treated him wrongly, got the grandfather's pickup, you know, in the will, and it really wasn't in there, and spent a lot of the money on the will, you know, all of that kind of stuff. That's kind of, you know, get into the story. You think all things work together for good to those that love the Lord in his life, and you could use Moses if you want to. Why didn't they just wash it off? Why didn't they just say, bad deal? I don't know what this religious garbage is all about. I'm just going to go do my own thing. Let's go. Eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow we may be dead. Let's just party, 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 party. Come on. No, he did not do that. Because all things work together for good to those that love God and are the called according to his purpose. And God had a purpose for Joseph from the moment he was conceived, even before he was conceived. God had a purpose. You want to hear his testimony? Say, well, we don't have time. Yeah, it's just two verses. Genesis 50, verse 19. And Joseph said to his brothers, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." Now, can you get any clearer than that? He said, I don't have to argue with you. We don't have to go to court. Just look, God had a plan. You meant it for bad. Satan meant it for bad. But God has a way of turning it around. Job. Illustration 2. Job had it all, and he lost it all. 7 sons, 3 daughters, 500 yoke of oxen, 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 donkeys, hundreds of thousands of acres of land. He had great wealth. And one day, lost it all. All of that went by the wayside. All of it. And you know what? Satan says he'll fold now. That's where this story got started. You remember, there was none more righteous in the land than Job. There was, what it means is there was nobody around that was trying to live by Romans 8:28. That would be written later, like Job. Job says, if he kills me, I'll serve him. Well, Satan expected him to fold. Job 1:21. Here's his testimony. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed is the name of the Lord. All things work together for good to those that love the Lord. Later, lose his health. He had boils from the top of his head, the bottom of his feet. And oh yes, he got some shallow counsel from his supposed friends, even his own wife. But he knew something. You know, folks, before you ever listen to anybody give you counsel, you better know what this book says. Yes. Because some really good, well-intended people can lead you down a wrong road faster than you can blink your eyes. Yes. If you don't know what this book says. When the book comes to an end, the book of Job I'm talking about, 42nd chapter, verse 12 says, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 she-asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. I mean, God just multiplied it all. Now, why? Why? Here was a man, another one, who said, he did not say it orally, but in his heart, he said to himself, I know that all things work together for good to those that love God. That's me. And are called according to his purpose. That's me. Because I want to be like him. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. The crucifixion led to the resurrection, which led to our salvation and to his soon return. And then finally, Peter. Old Peter. Fisherman Peter. Man of pride. He was much stronger than others. He was a legend in his own mind. He could look around and tell you what everybody else was going to do, but I won't betray you. But one day he sinned. And Jesus came to his rescue. He knew Peter. He knew how weak he was. He was a big mouth baby. You ever hear anybody say, that big old tough, he's just a big old teddy bear. He's got some rough edges, but that's Peter. But Jesus came to his rescue. You notice how wherever he'd be messing up, Jesus seemed to be real close by. Whether he was trying to walk on water, whether he was trying to cut the ears off of the whole army, you know, of the enemy. He said, calm down, Peter, you know, put the ear back on, you know. Calm down, son. Just learn, you're not near as great as you think you are. Without me, you can do nothing. But Peter wanted. He loved God. He loved God. Oh, he loved Jesus. Well, you know how that story ends. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Let me just give you his testimony. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you. Now, this is Peter talking. This is not Shakespeare. This is Peter. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing is happening to you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin in the house of God. And if it first began at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteousness scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. What a testimony. He just lays it out there and just says, I just trusted God. That's all I did. I finally gave up. My personality didn't get me through. My manliness didn't get me through. I couldn't win it with my fist. I just trusted God. And he said, that's what we need to do. You ever drink any buttermilk? All right, my daddy liked buttermilk. Goodness gracious. I saw some of that stuff one time, and I thought it boiled. Milk gets boiled and poured it down the sink. That was one of my spankings growing up. Cornbread and buttermilk. You ever try to eat any lard? You ever take baking powder and get you a couple of cups of it and just kind of swoop it down? Or turn up a bottle of salt? Or maybe just get a stick of butter and just chew it up like a banana and eat the whole thing. I don't know if you've ever tried to do that or not. I never have. I never really had a craving to do that. But I've tasted enough of all those things is that they are terrible. Including the buttermilk, from my humble but accurate opinion. But I tell you what, my grandmother could take those things and put them all together, and she'd have a biscuit come out of an oven, and it wasn't one of those WAP biscuits, you know, that you hear every morning driving to work, whopping them as they go down the street or hitting them on the counter. She could make a biscuit to die for, because all things work together for good. To those that love God. To those that love biscuits, homemade biscuits. It all works together for good. To be just right. To be just right. Well, many things can come into our lives and destroy our human plans. But I want you to know nothing can come in your life to destroy God's plan for it if you'll just love him. Nothing. Nothing. Oh, but my plans have been toward, that's what they were. They were your plans. But when you just let go and say, as for me and my house, we're just going to serve the Lord. If he exalts, fine. If he humbles, fine. If it's in good health, bad health. Riches or poverty, it doesn't make any difference. All things work together for good to those that love the Lord. And of course, in the same chapter, I closed with the 10 verses down. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Folks, I don't know ladies and gentlemen of the jury. But I tell you what, I think Paul makes it pretty convincing. It ought to be a unanimous decision. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. It ought to be very clear that we go out of here knowing one thing, that all things work to good. All things work together for good to those that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. And His purpose is to be predestined into the image of His Son. And that's what the gospel is all about. If any man be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross, God's will for his life. Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me, and get blessed. And the longer we serve him, the sweeter he'll grow. Would you just pray with me for a moment? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And thank you for getting up early and coming today. Thank you for watching on the internet. Whatever's going on in your life right now, God knows all about it. He had it all planned. Could you just take for just a moment and say, you know, I'm just going to let go and let God. I'm just going to accept that news that I said is bad news. I'm just not going to have any bad news. It's just not what I wanted to hear. But I'm going to do it the biblical way. I'm just going to trust God. And I'm going to do it His way. And would you just let that happen in your life? As we close the service, we're going to open up our connection center. There may be something today on your heart that you'd like somebody to pray with you about, talk to you about. Maybe it's to give your heart to Christ and become a believer and say, because none of that means a thing in the world if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ. None of it. All things work together for you to destroy you. Everything Satan sends at you is to destroy you. And you say, well, if I just don't really know. Would you come to our connection center? It's just beyond this platform here. There's a door. Come in that door, turn right, go one step, look to the right. People will be there to pray for you. Maybe there's some specific thing going on in your life right now, and you just need to release it to God and let somebody help you do that. So you come. If you'd like to join our church, you can do it right there as well. Father, I pray now that you'll help us to trust you and you alone. May we hold on to you, not try to hold out till things change. And Father, I pray that you will accept the gratitude of our heart, that this is one thing that you put in the scripture that is so clear that we can know. Thank you for that. We need it. Not only today, but we're going to need it tomorrow and the next day. And we know people that need it. So just use us in accordance to your purpose that we will be like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.